I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Thatch here. Welcome to Puckle Trivia Rewind, where we play old trivia segments from our show, Puckle Podcast. You can be sure to go over to the main feed, Puckle Podcast, where we listen to this podcast, and get more goodness. We talk more in depth about other Pokemon topics and whatnot, as well as have up-to-date trivia. But right now, you're hitting Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. And that's great, because now Stack Attack and Blacephalon are still there. Toucanic can still be an answer, and things are just going swimmingly. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this segment of Pokemon Trivia. To Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. Whimsicott and Sublime today are going to be competing against the rest of the co-host for the points. It's a race to whoever has 30 points first. Right now, I believe Skrawn is in first with 15 points, but Sublime, you're pretty close with 12, so you'll be able to hopefully take him over today. But Whimsicott, you have yet to get on the board, so I can't say anything. And we're going to go ahead,
well,
as always.
I've had a sore throat for a month and a half. That's the only thing that could keep me away from trivia.
As always, we have 5 questions for you guys here today. Each question is worth 5 points, one point.
Thatch. Now each question is worth 5 points.
Yeah, each point is worth 5. That's correct.
Every question is worth a point, and one of these questions will be include a bonus point. So if you get both answers, you will get an extra point. And you have a hint that you can use on any of these questions. Of course, you can always answer all of the questions correctly and then cash that hint in for an extra point, giving you a total of 7 points possible. So if you guys are ready, we'll jump right into it. So I asked this question. Question number one is for Whimsicott, just because I wanted to know. I found this little tidbit, and I thought it was incredibly interesting, but in terms of release dates for Pokemon, there was one generation of games that was actually released in Europe before North America. What generation was that?
Oh, gosh, I used to know this. In Europe before the United States?
Yes.
Okay, technically, there's 3.
Technically, okay, explain, please.
Generation 6 and Generation 7 were both released.
No, that doesn't count. That doesn't count, because the physical date has to be the same. Time zones don't count.
Okay. Okay, so I'm pretty sure it was. It's like a difference of a week or less. And it's a generation, right? It's not a set of games or a game.
Yeah, I would say generation. So it would be the first in a set of of games in a generation.
I guess Sublime doesn't know this, right? Because I'm thinking
What are you thinking?
I was thinking it might have been Generation 2. But
I don't know why. I was thinking Gen 5.
Gen 5. Pokemon Black, Pokemon White. I don't think it was Gen 5.
You wouldn't know.
No, I wouldn't.
I would defer to you on that.
I would not know. I read it on Bulbapedia once, and I was blown away. I guess we'll just gonna have to like shot in the dark, because I don't remember.
Isn't the first question supposed to be easy, Thatch?
Sometimes.
Not today. What do you want to do, Sublime? Do you want to go with Gen 2? Do you want to go with Gen 5? Do you want to...
Let's go with Gen 5. Gen 2, I guess. Let's go with Gen 2.
Okay, let's say Generation 2, because I just don't remember.
Generation 2 is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is actually Generation 5. You had...
Oh my god.
So close. Gen 5 actually released, like, I think it was like 5 days earlier in Europe or something like that. Because I believe it came out on the 11th in the United States and then in 2011.
I feel like we should get that. I feel like you should
March
just give 11th. It to us.
So I can't just give it to you. But you guys were so close. You had a 50-50 chance and you went for Gen 5.
Yeah,
all right.
Sorry.
So question number 2 comes from Linian. So speaking of Gen 5, in Gen 5, if you guys remember, you get the lock capsule. It was part of an event. It was an item that could be transferred into Generation 5 when you had the Raikou and Entei and Suicune, the shiny ones that from Gen 4, and you move them over. You got this lock capsule, and you can unlock it. And that was the only way to get Zorua at the time, which just blows my mind that this Pokemon was like pseudo-mythical. I totally forgot about that. And I'm like, yeah, no, that was weird. But this lock capsule, you could get it unlocked. And I want to know if you guys remember what was in it when you unlocked the lock capsule.
I never had a lock capsule. How am I supposed to know that?
Oh my gosh, I never Yellow brought Linian. my shiny general, shiny legendary beasts from Gen 4 to Gen 5.
You had to do a specific transfer method as well. Like you couldn't do the normal Poke Transporter. You had to do something else.
Yes, you had to do something specific. What was in the lock capsule?
Yes.
This is such a hard question.
Yell at Linian.
Linian, how could you do this to us?
So Sublime, let's walk this. Let's walk
All right,
through.
So
okay, so you bring over shiny Suicune.
Shiny dogs.
Exactly, and you get an object, and you unlock it. And once you unlock it, you get Zoroark, Zorua.
I believe it was Zorua. It was one of those two.
It was Zoroark, I think.
I think it was. Was it Zoro?
It doesn't matter.
It was Zoroark, and there was something inside. Do you want to use the hint, Sublime? Because we've blown the bonus point.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe we should use the hint on the bonus question, though. Because
use it on this one. You'll get the bonus question, I'm pretty sure.
All right, we'll use it on this one, then.
Okay, we trust you, Thatch.
Please do. I hope my trust isn't misplaced in you. So this item is actually readily available in generations that follow. This is something that you can obtain. It's a one of item. You only ever get one of
them. Only ever get one of those?
Yeah, and you use it on Pokemon. You use the item on a Pokemon, and it does something to the Pokemon.
What? Wait, is wearability capsules a thing in Generation 5?
No, they most definitely were not.
Oh, gosh. You have one, you use it on a Pokemon and it does something. I'm completely drawing a blank if it's not an ability capsule. Oh, gosh.
Okay, let's think. So
it has to kind of do with Zoroark.
Zoroark is a Pokemon.
Yeah.
I like this train of thought.
We're getting somewhere. It is a Pokemon that I can't think of an item that you like interacts with it. Like it's the illusion dude. Like, but what?
Oh,
does
it's
that
not exclusive to Zoroark. It can be used in other things.
I'm sure, but like,
it's the entire concept of an item that you only get one off ever, but is readily available in Generation 6 and 7. Like, do you mean?
Oh, you only get
one
of those in Generation 6 and 7 as well.
Yeah, so it's like a key item.
It's like a key item, but you can't use key items on Pokemon except for the DNA splicers, which you don't get.
Wait a minute.
I'm going to need an answer here.
Oh, DNA splicers, but those didn't come in until Black 2, White 2.
No, and they don't count as that.
It's not a key item.
Okay, fine.
What if it's Eviolite?
No, you can get more than one.
You can get more than one of that.
And you don't use it. You give it. It's insane. If it's not an ability capsule, no, but you get more than one.
Okay.
I don't know.
I need an answer. I need an answer. Just like shoot in the dark. Figure something out.
Okay. Shoot in the dark. You use it on a Pokemon and it does something and you only get one. So it's not consumable. So it's Sublime, hell.
I don't know. I don't know.
They were previously consumable.
Oh. Oh, it's a TM. It's Dark Pulse.
Is that
it's
your final
TM
answer?
For Dark Pulse. Yes.
So I'm going to give you the point.
Yay.
It's not for Dark Pulse.
But it is a TM.
It's a TM for Snarl.
That makes sense.
Previous to this, Snarl was only available through that event as a TM. So that was kind of a big deal back in the day because Snarl was used a lot on like Arcanine. Like that, it still is. Snarl is a move that sees some use.
It's a good VGC move.
I actually ran it in Piddle on my Suicune once to counteract, I think, a Ghost type once. I was like, I could get walled by this and this if I bring Scald, and I'm just like, I'll just bring Snarl. It'll still hit super effective.
Assault Vest Suicune with Snarl and Icy Wind.
Somebody was running Suicune this week, actually, on the Oceanic Regionals, but I digress. Let's move on. So I'll give you the point. That's 1 point for you guys.
Oh, thank you.
That was a struggle.
I mean, you essentially gave me the answer.
It was a little bit of a struggle.
I'll take it because the question was so hard.
That was a rough one.
So I think this one gets easier. Which type has the least pure monotype Pokemon? What type has the fewest monotype Pokemon of that?
Oh, that is... Oh, you know what? I was actually looking at this pretty recently.
It's flying.
Oh, you're right. There's has to be flying. I was thinking Steel only has like four, but flying has like two or one.
Yeah.
No, flying has one.
Flying has one.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, do you count Tornadus as two forms?
No, I'd count this one.
It's one. Okay.
That is correct. It is flying. So that's 2 points for you guys. Yay. Okay. So question number four. That's your bonus question. This one has the bonus point associated with it. So we know that the number of legendary Pokemon has kind of crept up in every generation. You kind of get more and more and more. I think Gen 5 being a huge offender of that, right?
And Gen 4 was pretty bad, too. Don't come for Gen 5.
That's fair. So it turns out, though, that we have this idea of legendary Pokemon being the number of them being crept up. But there are actually two generations that they're subsequent generations, and they had the same number of legendary Pokemon. Now, I would like to make the distinction between legendary and mythical here. Don't count like Shaymin and Darkrai or Mew or Celebi or any of that stuff.
Okay.
When you're doing your stuff like that.
They have the same number.
They have the same number of legendary Pokemon, and I will say the answer is 9. They both had 9 legendary Pokemon, and these are generations that are back-to-back. So you have to say two numbers that are subsequent.
I'm pretty sure they're 4 and 5, but since... You know, it's 2 points.
I can think of at least 10 in 5.
Yeah?
Yes, because you have... Oh, well, I guess Keldeo is a mythical, isn't it? JK, that puts it at 9. I think it's 4 and 5 then, yeah, because let's go through the Gen 4 legendaries. You have the Time and Space Trio, if you count Giratina, so that's 3. Yes. You have the Lake Guardian Garbage Trio, so that's 6. Yes. And then you have... Darkrai is a mythical.
But Cresselia
but you have
is not.
Heatran.
You have Heatran Cresselia. And Cresselia. And,
does Regigigas count as a legendary?
Yes.
Then that would be 9.
Exactly. And in Generation 5, you have the Dragon Trio.
The Three Musketeers.
The Three Musketeers and the Three Genies.
Yes.
Everything else is mythical.
Correct.
It's Generation 4 and 5.
That's your final answer?
Yes.
That is correct. That gives you 2 more points. That gives you guys 4 points for today.
Ooh.
All right. And as always, question number 5 is a base stat question. I like to ask these just because it gives people a feel for what Pokemon they have and how bulky or how strong a certain Pokemon. So I'm looking at the defense stat today, and I want to know what fighting type Pokemon has the highest base.
Okay. Let's get through this. Buzzwole's really bulky.
Buzzwole is really bulky. I was thinking about Buzzwole as well. There is also... Mega Heracross doesn't have that great of a defense, does it? It's all attack.
No, it's like all attack.
Exactly. Well, Buzzwole is swole, so... anything else? Fighting type, legendaries are
the last time I was on... We got highest special defense for fighting type, and that was Virizion, and that was a stat of 29. And Cavalion is the inverse stat spread of Virizion.
Yes,
and it has a defense of 129. So the question is, how high is Buzzwole's defense? Do you happen to know off the top of your head?
No, I don't, because I don't use Puzzle. I don't like it. But I remember checking it, and it was really high.
I think we should go with Buzzwole.
Yeah, let's go with Buzzwole.
That's your final answer?
Yeah, let's go with Buzzwole.
That is correct. Buzzwole has a base defense of 139.
Ooh, so 10 points higher than
Yeah, it's pretty bulky, man. I was playing against somebody who was running Sub Punch Buzzwole on stream. I believe it was Rotted. And that was pretty good. It's a good set.
Yeah.
And it works out really well because Buzzwole is, like you guys said, incredibly bulky.
Exactly. I don't use it, but I remember running Calx a couple of times to go up against it. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, there was no way of getting through it with a physical type attack unless it was a flying type attack.
So that changes up the leaderboard significantly. We're going to go ahead. Let me do my button here. We're going to go ahead. We're going to sort it. And so Sublime, you are now in first place with 17
Yay.
Points, followed up by Scrawn with 15 points. And then it just kind of falls off real hard. We've got tied for third place, Bosefus and Basket with 6 points apiece.
Oh my God, that is a big drop.
And then we have Snag, Dr. Shamu, Viger, and Whimsicott all tied for fifth place with 5 points apiece. And then we have Jushiro with 3 points in ninth place and Maximus with 1 point. And so that is where the standings are. Welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. And as always, what we're doing here is our co-hosts are going to be operating as a team to answer 5 questions worth 1 point apiece, though one question will have a bonus point. They are allowed 1 hint throughout the series of questions. However, if they get all of these questions right without using the hint, they will be allowed to cash that in for an extra point for a possible total of 7 today. They are competing against every other co-host that comes on the show at, say, race to 30 points. And I believe Scrawn and Sublime are the two in the race for it right now. So I think everybody else is significantly farther behind. So I think it's like a 9-point differential between them and everybody else because they're definitely fighting for it. And
I'll try my hardest, Thatch.
All right. So if you guys are ready, though, I have some questions for you.
Let's do it.
All right. So question number one. This comes from Seth Vilo. He wants to know, what does the move Magnetic Flux do?
What?
Magnetic flux.
Okay.
What does that do?
What?
I have no idea what that move is.
Magnetic.
I didn't know if it existed.
Well, it's not electromagnetism. Magnetic flux. That's a move?
Yes, it is.
I think I've never heard of that move before.
What? Well, it's clearly bad, so, let's use that as a hint. Magnetic flux. Wait, is this what I think it is? You know, I think I might have confused the effect of this room with electromagnetism, because electromagnetism floats the user above the ground, so it can't be affected by earth attacks. I think magnetic flux might float steel types so that they become immune to earth type effects.
Up to you. I've never heard of that. I would think that, or it makes your allies float instead of yourself, but that's me guessing.
It makes your allies slow?
No, float.
Oh. Well, I don't think it would make sense for you to, like, magnetic flux a Jigglypuff or something.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with it makes steel types float.
That is unfortunately incorrect. So the move Magnetic Flux actually raises the special defense and defense of an allied Pokemon with the plus or minus ability. So take that for what you will, guys.
I'll take it.
Okay.
After you, Seth Vilo.
All right.
Nobody is ever going to use that move. It's fine.
All right.
I can't wait. Just before, like, there's going to be a guy that uses it in VGC successfully. And, like, top cuts a regional or something because he was using, like, magnetic flux with, like, a plusle or some nonsense.
Nonsense. That's the key word there.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So this next question is the one that has a bonus point associated with it. And because that question was kind of bull, I will let you go ahead. So this question has 3 answers, technically. So if you get the 3rd answer, I will give you the point, and you can still cash in there.
Oh, sweet.
All right. Yeah. So this one's from Hydra. All right, and he wants to know, like Lance, another Dragon-type master, Iris did not use a team of all Dragon-types when you battle her as champion of Unova. What other Pokemon on her team were not Dragon-types?
No.
There are three of them. You get a point for each.
I never finished Black 2, White 2. Jushiro, have you done this?
I finished the game. That was so long ago. So let me.
Okay, well, it's going to be a Gen 5.
Yeah, I know she has Garchomp. Obviously, that's the dragon that she has.
Haxorus. She has.
She has a dragon as well. That's two. She has five Pokemon or six? I think she has six.
Six, because she's a champion.
Well, if you use the anime as a reference, it probably has a bright Delphox. So there are three possible answers here.
Yeah, three. She has three Pokemon on her team that are not dragon.
Okay, it's probably a reference to the anime, so I'd say Delphox is one of them, right?
I don't think so.
No?
Not a starter. I don't recall, no.
Oh, boy. Maybe Bouffalant or Valcarona? Trying to think late game one.
Yeah, Bouffalant might be one. Actually, that rings a bell.
I know Alder had something like that.
God, these questions, man.
Tougher. Your audio is so bad, Jushiro.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's fine. Let's see. Durant? Heatmore? Electros, maybe?
Electros sounds familiar.
I'm going to need some answers here, guys.
Wait. We need like three times this time. Because
I already gave that to you. So.
Okay. So I'm thinking rare Unova Pokemon that they want to introduce at the end. So I'm going to put Electros as one of them.
Okay. I'll take Electros. Okay, so that's one. I need two more. Or you can just say Electros and try to go for 1 point. I don't care.
No.
Bouffalant?
Sure, we'll say Bouffalant.
Okay, Electros, Bouffalant. Okay.
Don't
forget you guys still have the hint.
You know what? I feel for some odd reason, Beartick. I don't know why. Okay. Wait, no. The way the Thatch just reacted makes me think it's not Beartick. So,
I mean, you need to give me an answer right now or use the hint.
All right, let's just go with those answers, unless you have something else you'd rather put, Jushiro.
No, that's pretty much it.
Wait. Let's use the hint. Use the hint.
Okay, so, good, thank God. So, you were wrong on all accounts. One of these Pokemon is from first generation, one of these Pokemon is from third generation, and one of them is from fifth generation. Two of them are rock types, one of them is an ice type, and they are all dual types, and one of them is a fossil.
Oh, Bastet or the other one, the Cran, I forgot the...
ice type, I'm pretty sure that'd be Aurorus, because... Wait, no, that's fifth gen, never mind.
The fossil. The fossil has to be either Bastodon or the other one, the crack.
He said first gen, third gen, and fifth gen, right?
Oh,
or did you say fourth gen?
Fourth gen?
No, all odd generations up to that point.
Yeah, so Bastiodon is impossible.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That's fourth gen. Okay.
What about the Brontosaurus that's ice, that's a fossil? I forgot it.
That's sixth gen.
Oh.
Yeah, I can barely hear you. Let's see. One is a fossil. So it could be Cradily, it could be Armaldo, it could
Aerodactyl?
Be Kabutops or Amistar. So
not Aerodactyl?
It could be Aerodactyl. Yeah, Aerodactyl's one, of course. That's the first gen. Third gen, we have... Okay, so that since there were no fossil-type Pokemon in... Wait, were there in fifth gen?
I think they were. I don't remember, though.
Oh, yeah, it was Archaeops and Tortuga. So we got... Caracosta it might be, but we already chose Aerodactyl, so that's not going to happen. The fifth gen. Do we think of dual ice types in third? Oh, it might be Walrein.
The female version of Glalie.
Frostlass?
Yeah.
That's fourth gen. Okay. Oh boy, I'm thinking Ice Dragon Nisk.
I need answers here, guys.
Oh come on,
I've given you another 3 minutes. I've given you another 3 minutes.
Wait a second. So the only dual ice type in Gen 3 was Walrein.
Okay.
And then in fifth gen, what was the hint for fifth gen
Thatch? There's another rock.
Two of them are rock types. One of them's an ice type. One of them's a fossil.
Okay. And wait, did you say dual ice type?
They're all dual type Pokemon.
Fossil, rock. Wait, one of them's a fossil. One of them's a rock type?
What about Weevil?
Two of them are rock types. So the fossil counts as one. I need an answer, guys. You guys got to give me an answer.
Here are the answers in this order. Aerodactyl, Walrein, and I guess Caracosta.
All right. That is unfortunately incorrect on every account. The answers are Lapras, Aggron, and Archaeops. So unfortunate, guys. Unfortunate. So this next one, I think you guys can recover.
We just lost 4 points in that one.
I'm just going to throw out that the trivia questions on the Subline episode were way easy.
I'm sorry. Tell them to give you easier question. All right. One Pokemon with the Levitate ability would actually resist ground if Levitate was not its ability. Which Pokemon is it? That's your next question.
I see.
It has to be flying as well, then.
Well, resist, not immune.
Oh, resist. What's resistant to ground?
Grass.
Grass has Levitate?
Hoppip? Basically. No, Hoppip has flying.
Grass type.
I'm trying to think of other stuff that's resistant to ground.
I know there's a grass type with Levitate.
A character from the anime has.
I knew it. So there is one. So it's not the cotton, even though that's what would make more sense because cotton constantly in the air. But that has flying, like Scrawn says, right? No, Katani is the pre evolution of Whimsicott, though, right?
Yeah, it was never flying. Not in this universe.
No, I confused it with Hoppit, it's evolution, which is also a cotton based Pokemon. Come on, Scrawn, any levitating grass, there has to be. And the anime, one of the characters had one.
I'm thinking it's.
What about the Brontosaurus?
Tropius.
Tropius, thank you. I'm forgetting all these Pokemon names. It's incredible. If they're not being a DCG lately, I do not recall.
Oh, Bug also resists, I think, right?
Right. I suppose. Yeah. But again, we need to figure out who has Levitate.
So
I'm going to need an answer here.
Honestly, I'm kind of in a fatalistic mood here, so.
What could it be?
Absolutely barbaric.
I'm drawing a blank, sorry.
Come on, you can do it. I need an answer. A person from the anime, one of the main characters in the anime, one of the five people you follow all the time, had one of these. Back in Gen 4, guys, come on, I can't just hand it to you. James had one. James.
It's Carnivine. Carnivine.
Is that your final answer? It only took 3 minutes, but that's correct. The answer is Carnivine.
I feel so pitied.
That's 1 point for you guys this week. We're going to move on to question number 4. The fourth question.
I'm so glad that you have decided to take pity on us.
It is also from Hydra. An older poison type Pokemon, one not introduced in Gen 7, got a signature move in Generation 7. Which poison type Pokemon was this?
If you don't know this, Grunt, I'm going to hit you.
A poison type Pokemon.
It's also a dual type. It has a second type as well.
Well, this comment makes me think that it's Crobat.
No, I don't know.
But I don't. Oh, okay. So it's a poison type Pokemon that got a new move in Gen 7.
And it's a signature move. It's the only Pokemon that got it.
Okay.
Gen 7 added a lot of random signature moves to Pokemon. It's really weird.
That's fun. Not for me.
It's not a Z move, though, right?
Not a Z move. No, this is just a regular move.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I assume something with
where are my Gen 3 questions? Come on,
you got to be a master of everything Pokemon, man.
Yeah.
So Beedrill didn't get nothing. What else?
This move is a status move as well. It is called. I'll even tell you the name of the move. It is called Toxic Thread.
Toxic Thread.
Yes.
Somebody tells me it has to.
Oh, so Ariados. I'd say.
Is that your final answer?
It sounds like Ariados, yeah.
Yeah.
That is correct. That is 2 points for you guys today.
More pity points, yeah!
All right, and so the final question for you guys today, as always, I like to ask you guys a base stat question, and you will only get a minute to answer this. I want to know what Bug-type Pokemon has the highest base special attack.
Bug-type Pokemon, highest base special attack.
Including Megas?
Including Megas.
Oh, I know this. It's gonna be Pheromosa.
It could be Genesect.
Genesect. Yeah, I guess it could be. But, like, Pheromosa's is, like, 150, so I don't know how you beat that.
Special attack, or isn't she attack?
It's both.
Oh.
It's nasty.
Then, yeah, go ahead.
It's, like, 30 in the defenses.
Is that your final answer?
What do you know about Genesect, though, Jushi?
What was that?
What do you know about Genesect? Like, what makes you think that?
Just because he's a bug mystical one, legendary bug that has a laser cannon on its back.
Okay, that's a pretty good line of thought, but I'm still leaning towards Pheromosa, so okay. That is my answer.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is correct. Yeah. That is the correct answer. Pheromosa has the highest base special attack. I think it's a little lower than 150, though, unfortunately. It's like 130, because all of the Ultra Beast have or prime numbers as their base stats. Fun fact.
That's so weird and, like, disconcerting.
The only one that doesn't have a prime number as a base stat is Naganadel, because it has, I think, 73 or 70.
Mm-hmm.
And that is unfortunately not a prime number. So, but there you guys go. You guys got 3 points today. So good for you. You got 3 points today. That's the average that I always shoot for.
And our pride is down in the gutter.
So that changes up these standings. Right now, Scrawn, you are in first place with 18 points.
Not for long.
Followed up by Sublime with 17 points. Jushiro, you are now in third place with 7 points. Followed up with a four-way tie for fourth place with 6 points of Bow, Basket, Shamu, and Snag. In eighth place, you have Vigor and Whimsicott tied with 5 points. Maximus is in 10th with 2 points, and Gator is bringing up the... Buckles Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we're going to quiz your host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. As always, they are only allowed to use what's in their brains, so no internet allowed. They have to answer these questions based on what they know about Pokemon. So the goal of the game is to get to 30 points over several weeks. Our co-hosts are going to be acting as a team for those of you who are new to the show, and they will be trying to answer these questions. There are going to be 5 questions. One of them is going to have a bonus point, so that's a total of 6 questions. However, they are allowed 1 hint for all 5 questions, so they can choose which question they want to use the hint on. And if they can get all of the questions correct without using the hint, they can also cash that hint in for a possible total of 7 points. And Sublime is actually pretty close. He said 18 points, tied with Scrawn for first place right now, and we're going to see how that goes. So we have that going on, and yeah, those are the rules. That's how everything's ready. So if you guys are ready to go, I will ask you the first question.
I was born ready.
All right, then. So question number 1 and number 2, by the way, come from Claude9, and he wants to know, guys, when you catch a Corsola in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, you have a 5% chance that it'll be holding this unique item. This is the only way to get this item in Generation 7. What item is it?
Not a pearl. It's not, not a bottle cap. Does Corsola have like a coral piece or something like that on it? I'm trying to think.
I have no idea. You catch a Corsola, so it's in the decks, and you never touch it again. Yeah, or you catch it in Pokemon Go to brag about you having it because it's so rare.
The only time I was fighting Corsola is when I was trying to what's that Pokemon name? I know the evolved form, but
Marini.
Marini, there we go. That was the only reason I was even fighting Corsola to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Is this like a battle item or is it just an item?
I feel like that would be giving a hint.
Totally cheated, yeah.
Oh, really? You want to talk about hints? Uh-oh. Let's talk about hints.
Here we go.
I will say it is an item that can be used in battle. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, then
I'm gonna need an answer though.
You think it's just like a hard stone?
No, you can get those. You can get those
from anything. You're right.
From other rock Pokemon.
I need an answer.
Oh, what if it's a deep marvel scale? That's something rare-ish, right? I have no idea.
Hey, go for it. I said that's a better guess than I.
I can't think of any. Whatever. Let's just say deep marble scale.
That is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is luminous moss.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Although, you know what? I bet that's not the only way you can get it. I bet you can.
It's
buy
the
it
only way you can get it in Generation 7, apparently.
You can't buy it in the battle tree? I bet you could.
You cannot. However, it looks like. I'm double checking for you guys just to make sure. But even then, I'm still not getting you. The only way to get it outside of catching a Corsola and it holding it is that if you use a potion on the Corsola on the beach in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, it will give you a Luminous Moss as well.
That's very peculiar.
So that is the only way, other way to get a Luminous Moss. So the next question is also from Claude9, and he wants to know, what does the Luminous Moss do?
Oh, I know this one. I know this one, actually. Yeah. I believe it boosts a stat when you are hit with either a grass or a water type move. Let me think this through. Yeah, because it boosts a stat when you're hit by a specific type of move. I think it's a defensive stat, but I'm not 100% sure about that.
What's your answer?
I feel like it gets boosted with a water type or grass, but I'm not sure which. What do you think?
I find it weird if it's grass because it's Corsola. It's just all the fat grass is 4 times effective. I just kind of find it a little weird.
Like, I know I've seen this for sale in previous generations.
But sure, there are other items I've seen this happen to, just the moss. Before this question,
I think it's water. Because it would make sense for grass to eat grass, but moss, you know, needs water, and it's under the ocean. So I think it's when you get hit by a water-type move. I want to say it boosts your special defense. Because it was like, there's a bunch of like items like that. There's like the battery.
I'm going to need an answer.
I'm going to say that it boosts your special defense when you're hit by a water type move. It's good for surf shenanigans, I think. Yeah. In double.
Is that your final answer?
It is. I think it is, because I don't know what else it could be.
All right. That is correct. The Luminous Moss boosts the holder's special defense by 1 stage when it is hit by a water type move. So there we go. That's 1 point for you guys today. Things are looking good. Things are looking good for you. All right. So next question is going to come to you from, let's see who sent me one. It is from Sparky on the Discord server. This one is worth 2 points. If you get one point for each answer, as always. So
okay.
In Generation 1, what types inflicted super effective damage on each other, but do not do this in later generations?
Wait, repeat that one more time.
In Generation 1, what two types of Pokemon inflict super effective damage on each other, but do not do it in later generations?
So it's on each other, not on themselves.
Not on themselves,
I'm,
on
I'm
each other.
I'm confused about how he said it.
These two types, if they used it, if they attacked each other, they would do super effective damage to each other. So move of type A would be super effective on a Pokemon of type B, and a move of type B would be super effective on a Pokemon of type A.
Got it.
Is it like combination of types? Because I know
it's just two types.
It's two types. Just two types.
Oh, okay, because I was concerned because I know like in Gen 1, like let's say you were facing a Charizard versus an Articuno. An Articuno can shoot a super effective Ice Beam at a Charizard. Even nowadays, it'll be neutral. Mm-hmm. Because back then, flying types were, the whole ice and flying thing was kind of iffy on that aspect, even though it would be neutral today. Like, fire mm-hmm. types didn't cancel out ice types back in the day because it didn't matter.
Yeah, this is true.
That's why I was kind of concerned, it's a combination of types or, like, certain aspect. But, okay, so it's just one mm-hmm. specific type.
Well, two. Well, there's two types.
Well, two.
It's one specific type, yeah. So you have, like, a 1 out of 17 chance of getting one of them.
1 out of 15, actually.
Oh, yeah, 1 out of 15. Yeah, you're right. Yep, absolutely.
Well, not any of the elemental stuff, or at least the water, grass.
What were the types that got changed when they updated the type chart?
Oh, psychic, ghost, it's not dragon. That's super effective nowadays. Ghost is super effective nowadays to each other. So
I know bug changed.
So it has to either be bug, poison, or like some of the less valuable ones back in the day.
I know bug got changed in the type in Gen 2. So I think I want to say bug is one of them.
And I kind of want to say poison because poison was only second. Oh, no, I wouldn't say secondary, but. And you said the types were super effective, but they were not super effective anymore, correct?
They are not super effective anymore. Only in Gen 1 was this true.
Well, Gen 1 has a lot of bugs and poisons, I feel like, so maybe that is what it is.
Is this your final answer?
I'm going to go with my... I like that I put forth bug. Are you confident with the poison?
I'm just thinking of the other types, but real quick, but I can't really think of any other types that would this affect but besides dragon, but dragon's so effective nowadays, so that's not it. So I'm gonna say poison.
That is correct on both accounts. It is bug and poison. Bug used to be super effective to poison types, and poison types used to be super effective to bug types. Fun fact.
Well, teamwork makes the dream work.
But there you guys go. That gives you guys 3 points for today out of the four that you've had a chance to get. So we're on to the next question. So this next question comes from me because I found it out today while I was trying to make up a topic for today. But then Sublime came up with a much better one. While I was perusing Reddit, I found this fun fact out, though. And I want to know if you guys know what Pokemon is considered the rarest and most difficult to catch in all of Pokemon to have been the hardest one to locate.
Wait a minute. To acquire? When you say catch.
To catch. Not like a mythical.
Is this not counting events? Not counting events.
This is only counting in-game catchability. So this is in terms of, you have to think probably, I will give you a free hint, is that it used to be under 1% if you consider all the factors you need to include in catching this Pokeball.
It could be caught easier now, but at one point it was the hardest?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, my guess off the back is going to be Phoebus.
Wait, is the fine?
Also, don't forget you have a hint. You have the hint still, and you can't catch it.
Is this the last question?
Before the stack question, yes.
Then we might as well use the hint, yeah.
So I'm going to say Gen 4. It's a Gen 4 Pokemon.
Oh. Maybe Spiritomb. I know Spiritomb was pretty tricky.
I don't know. Like, you only got like one shot to catch it in like Gen 4.
You get one shot to catch Rotom, but I feel like Spiritomb, you have to do a lot of things.
Not Rotom. There's no way. That thing was like eager to get caught.
Yeah. It's just that there's only one of it. All I can think of is Spiritomb, but I don't feel like that's it.
That's a better guess. It's definitely not the legendaries. At least I don't believe.
Wait. How hard is it to catch Lunala?
Gen 4. This is Gen 4. I gave you the hint. Gen 4.
Yeah.
I'll go one step further and say it has to do with trees.
Okay. That's a good hint. Gen 4 trees. Gen 4 trees. Maybe it's got to do with the tree. And it's in Gen 4, so...
Gen 4 had a fun mechanic with trees.
And it wasn't just headbutting them? Nope, that was Gen 2.
Nope.
Wait, what about the honey? No, honey thing was still Gen...
The honey thing was Gen 4.
Gen 4. Oh, the honey thing was Gen 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that wasn't hard. I don't think... Or was it? Maybe there's like a super rare Pokemon. Oh! Wait a minute. Trees. Honey. Is it Munchlax really hard to catch?
Really? Wait a minute.
Munchlax was introduced.
The fine percentage. Well, I'm still confused by the way.
So you have an encounter rate, but then there's also things that can affect the counter rate. And so because I already ruled out Feebas for you, Feebas is a good example of this. Feebas had you had to go find the specific three tiles that Feebas was in, but it could already
and
have
it
a low.
Like, already changing which tiles it was, and it was like, yeah, Feebas like will die for all of our sins because it put us through the work. I think it's Munchlax. I feel like Munchlax was supposed to be really rare in Gen 4, and I think you got it through the honey. Because Munchlax is a Gen 4 Pokemon, isn't it?
Yes. Technically, yes. Even though it showed up before Gen 4.
Is that your final answer?
I can't think of a better answer.
You can go with Munchlax.
That is correct.
Yes!
The answer is Munchlax because... Okay, so here we go. So there are 21 trees, honey trees, in Sinnoh that you can lather honey on. And of those trees, 3 to 4 of them will be capable of finding a Munchlax with a 1% encounter rate. These trees are predetermined by your secret ID and your trainer ID. So it's really difficult to find a Munchlax because you have a 1/7 of 1% chance to get a Munchlax. And on top of that, unlike Feebas, you can't just like keep staying in the same spot. You have to like keep putting honey on the tree, wait 12 hours, come to the tree, and then do it again for that 1% chance. It's absolutely...
Now they just give you one, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely awful. Yeah.
Or you can just breed for it, which is probably
easier. Well, you could breed for it back then too, but if you were like...
Which is probably easier, but if you're trying to catch it,
if you're trying to catch it, it's awful.
Yeah, thank you for that hint, because I wouldn't have figured it out without the hint. Okay. I'm like, wait a minute, Munchlax is... ridiculous. Yeah, I remember Munchlax being weird. I didn't know how weird it was, but I knew it was weird.
All right, so next question, as always, is a stat question. And I want to ask you guys about special attack. And I want to know which normal type Pokemon has the highest space special attack.
Oh, I actually know this off the bat because I try to memorize these, and it's a three-way tie, I'll have you know.
It actually is, yes.
Yes. Mega Pidgeot, Porygon Z, and what's the third one? Mega Pidgeot, Porygon Z, and one more that I can't remember at this moment.
Oh, what else?
So can I get 2 points for that because I know two of the three?
No.
What's the third?
I'll give you one.
If you give me a minute, I might come up with a third too.
If you come up with a third, maybe I'll consider it. But
all right. So I know it has. It's either 130 or 135 is the number.
I'm glad that you went and memorized all of these.
Yeah, I'm like, if I know them all, it's a guaranteed point, and it's not that hard. Most of them are like, oh, it's a mega evolution or a legendary, right? It's not that hard to have these memorized for 6 things for 18 types. Like, it's not.
Yep.
some of them are the same, too. So
yeah, a lot of them, there's like overlap, right? Like, okay, so...
What's the third one?
Special attack. What is the third one? Special attack... Normal.
What is it, like 165?
No, it's 135.
I'm way off then.
Yeah, no, you've got Porygon Z, Mega Pidgeot, and what was the other? Nope, that would be Mega Kangaskhan, the other normal Mega Evolution. It's not that. It's not slacking, I don't think. You know what? I want to say Mega Audino might be the third one.
I don't think so.
No?
It's more of a defensive monster.
It is defensive, but it was more especially, you're right. I don't think it's Mega Audino anymore. Is it a Mega?
I'm not going to give you that.
okay.
There's not that many Mega normal Pokemon.
No, there's like two or three. And Mega.
Just give me your answer. I need your answer. You got to turn in your work.
Okay, so there's Porygon Z, Mega Pidgeot, and.
I need it now.
I'm just
going
to go with slacking. Regigigas.
That is correct on two, but incorrect on one. The third one you're looking for is actually Drampa.
Drampa! I should have known that.
Base 130, yeah. But Porygon Z and Pidgeot, Mega Pidgeot fit the bill, so that's perfectly fine with. So that gives you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 points today? Yeah, 5. You guys did pretty well.
That's quite good.
That's pretty good. That's higher than the average.
I'm glad I've learned all of the stats.
Now that I know that, I got to start asking lowest stat questions.
I'll memorize those too.
Sunkern, and then we got.
The rankings have changed though, by the way, pretty significantly. Let me sort these. So Sublime is now in first place with 23 points, followed up by Scrawn in second place by 18 points. In third place, we have Jushiro with 8 points, followed up by Maximus in fourth with 7 points. In a four-way tie for fifth, we have Bosipus, Basket, Shamu, and Snag with 6 points. In ninth place, we have Vigor and Whimsicott tied. And in 11th place, we have Gator. The PokeQuiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. These two will be operating as a team, trying to answer the questions together. They will get 1 point for every correct answer. One of the questions will include a bonus point, and they are allowed one hint to answer all of the questions. They are in a race against the other co-host to see who can get 30 points first, though I believe Sublime is far and ahead of everybody else that is not named Sublime.
Can we compete to remove 5 points from Sublime? Like, can we start deciding at the end of episodes if we want to just negatively dock people?
Gator, maybe next time. How much do you not value your own life?
I'm just saying, like, can we be like, all right, we want 2 points in our column and minus 3 points from this person's column.
Okay, that's interesting. I will consider this in the future. I will consider this in the future. Maybe in the next round of trivia, we'll do. You're allowed to use your point value a section of your points, but you have to cut it in half to remove points from your opponents or something like that.
Yes.
That way they can at least get positive. I feel like that would be hilarious. So we're going to go ahead and ask these questions. Of course, as always, these questions are brought to you from the community. So the first one is actually going to be from Hens, and he wants to know about HeartGold and SoulSilver, if you guys are ready.
Oh, gosh. I suppose.
So in HeartGold and SoulSilver, there are four roaming legendaries total between the two games that you can catch. Two of them are Entei and Raikou because you get the legendary dog throughout that. But another one of them is a version exclusive, depending on which version of the game you have. What are these other two legendaries that roam in HeartGold and SoulSilver?
Aren't they Latias and Latias?
I don't know. I didn't play HeartGold and SoulSilver.
I didn't quite finish it all the way, but I think... they might have been Latios and Latias.
Or is it Lugia, Ho-Oh? What about those? Are they?
No, Lugia and Ho-Oh are not roaming in HeartGold and SoulSilver.
Oh, I don't know.
I have a feeling it's Latios and Latias.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, it depends on, like, you go out of your mother's house and she asks you, and someone asks you, like, which color was the Pokemon that you saw flying overhead? And that, no, that's not it. But I think it's Latios and Latias anyway.
I defer to you.
Okay.
That is correct. Latios and Latias are the other two. So actually, the Entei and Raikou will actually roam only in Johto, and the Latias slash Latios, depending on which version of the game you have, will actually go ahead and roam in Kanto. It depends on version. The one you're thinking about is which color is actually Emerald version. When that happened. You can also get the other Latias in that game if you got an event called the Enigma Stone, which you actually like go through this small little story with Steven Stone, and it's kind of like the quest you get.
The Eon Ticket.
I think it's more applicable to the one that you get in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire than the original one. So that just for you to know. There you go. The more you know. All right. So this next is actually going to come to us from, pulling it up right now, Black Cobra. And he wants to know, what does the ability Flower Gift do?
Flower Gift prevents your grass type allies from getting status conditions, I think.
No, because that's the Cheerum ability. So I think that's the one that's not the one that changes the thing. Isn't that the one that does the attack and special defense boosts and its allies?
You're right. That is Flower Gift. Flower Gift boosts your allies. Yeah, attack and special defense. Because I remember talking about this and saying, "Oh, that would go well with Charizard Y because it's like in Sun, but Charizard Y would actually want defense and special attack, and it was the opposite." You are absolutely right, Gator.
But it also changes Cheerum too, doesn't it? Like it.
Yes, it changes Cheerum's form in Sun.
All right, that's our answer.
That is correct. I don't think it actually does the Cheerum form. I don't think that's Flower Gift. I think that's nothing else. I might be wrong. But it does raise the attack and special defense of yourself and your allies. And there you go. That's 2 points for you guys today. Keep moving on. We'll move the chains.
Nice. Thank you for correcting me, Gator.
I was trying to think about it.
All right. So question number three. Oh my gosh, three. I read another thing and it made me think of the number five. So question number three is from Bigby. And Bigby would like to know, according to its Pokedex entry, Spiritomb is bound to a fissure in an odd keystone as punishment for its misdeeds from 500 years ago. And it is made up of this many spirits.
108.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is correct. It is 108 because they just decided to shove this Pokemon with full of 108 facts. I believe in Ruby and Sapphire, it is actually found on Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. It's found on Route 108.
Oh, cute detail.
Yeah, it is also Synodex number 108. And cute. It is also 108 kilograms.
Nice. Yeah, it's a whole thing with a Buddhist story.
Is that like a lucky number in Japan, maybe?
No, it's from a Buddhist or Shintoist story.
It's a Buddhist story.
108 and eight souls. I remember because Scrawn and I spent a long time talking about this because he wrote a thing about it once. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a thing. I think it's a New Year's tradition where they ring a bell 108 times or something like that.
Something like that.
It's on the Wikipedia or the Bulbapedia page for Spirit. All right. So this next question is from Linian, and this one has a bonus point attached to it. It's a bonus point because I need two of the answers for the whole thing. However, there are 9 possible answers. So you should be able to hit 2 of them.
Holy cow.
You should be able to hit 2 of them. So we have, he wants to know, he says, multiple Pokemon evolutionary lines have signature moves. Or moves that only they can learn via level up. So this might be a move that other Pokemon can learn, but this is the only Pokemon that can learn it by level up. It's the only one that's naturally in their move.
Mm-hmm.
Which Pokemon evolutionary lines have signature moves that do not share a type with any of their forms or stages. So these are moves that are their signature moves, but do not match that Pokemon's type.
Wow.
So like Skullbash with Squirtle, maybe?
Something like that, yes.
An example of one where the type does match would be Fly with Salamence, because it's one of the only Pokemon, it's the only Pokemon, if I recall correctly, that learns Fly by level up, but other Pokemon can get it, so that's a good example.
I see. This is a very tough question. Okay, let's try.
I'll give you guys a little extra time for this one, but
I think Skullbash is a good one to go with, because I'm pretty sure.
So Squirtle, okay. Yes.
Because that's a what? That's a physical.
But nobody else learns it by level up?
I think that's like their. I think according to the parameters of the question, I think that's what one that fits.
So are you saying that like Rampardos and Tyrantrum do not learn this by level up?
I don't think so.
Okay. I trust you because I'm not an expert on Squirtle.
I can throw some free hints your way.
Great.
Tell you what, Gator. We can talk for like another 40 seconds and then we can decide if we want the hint and try to go for 6 points instead of 7, which would actually be 5 because we might not get either of these without the hint.
True.
I'm thinking like Gen 7 gave a ton of Pokemon like signature moves, but most of them are like type coherent with the Pokemon.
True.
Okay, let's think about Pokemon that should have, like, Pokemon that people get confused about their types all the time, and that might have signature moves that are not their type.
Like I said, the only one I could think of right off the bat was Squirtle.
I'm gonna need some answers, or the hint. Just lock in the hint.
Do you wanna get the hint, Gator? I personally am in favor of it.
We can't, well, if we get the hint, do we use it for the bonus point? Is that what that is?
I mean, it could be both.
If Squirtle's wrong, we're just getting 0 points, and the hint is gone anyway.
I guess. Yeah.
This is going to be like a Sudoku puzzle of information. Two of these Pokemon are Generation 1 Pokemon. Two of these Pokemon are Generation 2 Pokemon. One of these Pokemon is a Generation 3 Pokemon, and 1, 2, 3, 4 of these Pokemon are Generation 7 Pokemon. Two of these moves are actually HMs that are quote-unquote signature moves of these lines. I can kind of hand you one by saying Shamu is very fond of one of these. I can tell you that Whimsicott is also fond of one of these. So I think that's where we'll end it right there.
Okay.
And then only how many of them? Only 1, 2, 3, 4... Only 4 of them of the 9 are actually like full on evolutionary lines.
Well,
the rest
that.
Of them are just
like,
single stage.
Dang it. I still Squirtle.
Somehow that got me even more confused.
Yeah, this is a very dense question.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So 4 of them are Gen 7. We should go for those because there's not that many Pokemon in Gen 7. I mean,
yeah,
it's not
like 70 or 80.
It's not Ribbon B because Pollen Puff is a bug type move. It's not the Tapus, because Nature's Madness is a fairy type move.
Right.
Two of these moves are HMs.
So is Flash, but, does somebody learn Flash on level up? Does Pikachu learn Flash on level up?
No, there's one Pokemon that does, but I cannot remember which one it is. It was a great, it was it some bug type? Was it?
I know somebody learns
like,
Flash.
Is it like Illumis or Volbeat or something like that? Gosh, this is so hard. I looked up signature moves today because I was curious.
Yeah, Volby and Morlul both learn Flash. Pretty sure.
Okay,
let's see. Dancing, and paper cuts. That's all. I'm just going to leave it there.
Oh wait, that's right. Revelation Dance is technically typeless, so one is Oricorio. Well, Cartana learns a flying type move by level up that no one else does, I think. Okay.
I only need the Pokemon.
Fine. You get, essentially fine. Gave them to us, or Oricorio and Cartana.
And Squirtle.
I'm going to take Cartana and Oricorio, and those are correct on both accounts. The answers are actually Machamp. It learned Strength. Now, Squirtle's a good guess, but unfortunately, other Pokemon gave access to Skullbash later on in life. So Squirtle was a good guess, but Sharpedo gets Skullbash, Babartico gets Skullbash, Avalon gets Skullbash, Tapu Bulu gets, and Celesteela. What?
So I was completely wrong about which Pokemon, but I was right about the concept.
So Machamp,
I wasn't getting it,
Machamp
I guess.
Gets Strength. It learns Strength via level. The Execute line gets Barrage. which is a move only
they get. Which is a normal
type move, yeah. The Smoochum line is the only one that learns Lovely Kiss by level up. Delibird with Present.
That's right.
Hariyama with Smelling Salts.
Smelling Salts, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oracoria with Revelation Dance, which you... Delmize with Anchor Shot, which is a steel type
move.
And then Pyukumuku with Purify. Which I believe is a normal type move. And then Kartana, not with the flying type move, but with the move Cut. It learns Cut.
It
learns Cut to level up. And it's the only Pokemon that does so.
Now that you mention all of the others,
they're all like
really
blatantly obvious, right?
Bad about, exactly.
And so, it's one of those questions where you're not going to thought it. You don't think about Pokemon on the list yet, but that's fine. You guys got 5 points for the day. So let's go, let's go for six. This next question, as always, is a base stat question, and I want to know about base defense today, guys. And I want to know what flying type Pokemon has the highest base defense.
Celesteela. Does that sound right?
Celesteela fly?
Yes, it's still flying.
What about Skarmory?
Ooh, that might be higher.
Because it's still flying.
Yeah, I think it might be higher.
Because I've used that one for a while a lot. I feel more comfortable with Skarmory, but if you think it's Celesteela, I'm not
sure. No, I think Celesteela is a bit more balanced. Like, it has very high special defense and very high defense, while Skarmory is all defense, so I think you're right.
I'm pretty sure Skarmory is like a base 140, 150, somewhere in there.
I just remember it's really high. We have a few seconds. Let's think about something else. But I'm 90% sure it's one of those two.
Rayquaza's not part flying.
Yes, it is.
It is. But, I think Starmie's still higher because that base one.
Yeah, it's like a really high defense stat on Starmie. So I think you might be right. And in fact, if I remember correctly, Celesteela's special defense is a tiny bit higher than its defense. So, yeah, I would go with Skarmory.
That's what we're going with.
Correct. The answer is Skarmory. So that gives you guys 6 points today. That's knocking it out of the park right there. You guys will win in no time, maybe. if Sublime just isn't on the show anymore.
We just keep setting up a series of events where it's
unfortunate.
Whoops, can't go.
Oh, man, Sublime, you can't be on the show this time. Oh, man. All right, so let me go ahead and open up. Oop, that's the wrong one. I opened up the wrong file. I should have opened this up beforehand. I usually do. I don't know what happened. All right.
Celesteela is base 103, in case anybody was wondering.
Yeah, fun fact about every Ultra Beast. I said this before on the show, but...
all prime numbers.
They're all prime numbers for their base stats, except for Naganadel.
Yeah, he ruined it.
Yeah, Naganadel ruined it. So we are going to go ahead and... it's because they wanted to give them all like a base like 5-something... total base stat total, and Naganadel just ruined everything. But the standings have changed. Sublime is still in first place with 23 points. Scrawn is in second place with 18 points. Whimsicott, you have now jumped to third place with 11 points. Jushiro is in fourth place with 8 points. I believe Scrawn and Sublime actually get plus one, but I haven't gotten there yet. Jushiro is in fourth place with 8 points. Maximus and Gator are tied for fifth with 7 points. Bosifus, Basket, Dr. Shampoo, and Snag are all tied for, what is the seventh place now? And then Viger is bringing up the rear with 5. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. As always, we have 5 questions for all of our co-hosts here today. Each of these questions is worth 1 point. They are working together as a team to answer them. One of these questions will have a bonus point attached to it, and they have one hint that they can use to answer any of these questions. Of course, they can not use the hint and get all of the questions correct and then use that hint to get an extra point for a possible total of 7 points. They are racing against the other co-hosts for a total of 30 points today. Scrawn, you are in shooting distance, actually, because you're only 5 points behind Sublime. You're at 19 and he's at 24. So you can actually pull it off.
It's all right. I'm here to have fun.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Well, you should give your points to Shamu then. And
that's fine.
Yeah.
All right. So if you guys are ready, I have questions for you today. Question number one is written by me out of my brain. And I want to know, in the first episode of the Pokemon anime, Ash stumbles upon a portrait of legendary Pokemon in the Pokemon Center.
Oh.
What Pokemon is not a legendary bird in that panel because there's four Pokemon.
Arcanine.
Yeah, it's Arcanine.
Because technically it's the legendary Pokemon.
There you go. That is correct. That is your softball question for today. Now get Yay. Ready for everything else. Are you ready for question number two then?
Yeah.
All right. Question number two. Before Generation 4, what is the only move that could be special or physical?
Before Generation 2, the only
move. Before Generation 4, oh my gosh, I said question 2. This is before Generation 4, before the physical special split. What All is right. the only move that could be special or physical?
Dr. Shamu, is that secret power?
Actually...
Because I know it changes based on the terrain.
But doesn't Nature Power as well?
Yeah, but Nature Power actually switches to a different move. Yeah, like Nature Power picks a different move to use.
But it's still classified as Nature Power.
Nature Power doesn't count.
Okay. Good to know.
So I would say Secret Power then, yeah.
Let's think about some other possibilities.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to think something else and I just...
Hidden Power, maybe? It's
Hidden Power is always the one. Well, wait.
It was always physical, I guess, maybe. What?
Wait. Would that be because type was... I don't know, no. Because I think type would be... Because technically it's a normal type when he's hidden power, changing its type. And at that point, it would depend... Because, far as I'm aware, whatever type it is depends if it's special or physical.
Yeah, it's tricky.
I can't remember secret
power
being...
I do think hidden power was always physical back then, though. Maybe secret power as well? Or actually, you know, I don't...
I don't know about secret power, to be perfectly honest. But I know it does change moves, but I just don't know if it changes its physical or special...
Yeah, changes the side effects. So I wouldn't say secret power. Maybe hidden power is our best bet.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with hidden power myself, though. Just cause
Give me just a sec.
Yeah.
I'm going to need an answer.
I'm going to say hidden power, then be salty afterwards.
All right.
So but hidden power that's good. Is yeah. correct.
Yeah.
Because hidden power can change types. Look at that, guys. You guys are at 2 points right now. You're two for two. All right. So because I wrote these questions very quickly, all of these have to do with moves.
Fantastic.
So I want to know next, because we have Scrawn here on the show, what is only poison type move capable of restoring hit points?
Oh, no.
And it's through the effect of the actual attack, correct?
Yes, it's when you use the attack, you'll get a... Like, that's the point of using the attack.
That's what I thought. I'm just making sure I'm gathering it correctly. It's not some stupid combo.
No. Oof. I mean, it requires something else to happen to restore hit points.
Like, maybe it but the has move to will be fail a poison-type move used on a poison-type Pokemon or something. That would make sense. So, like, I don't know, like Sludge Bomb or something. I don't think so, though. Acid, no.
I'm just trying to think of stuff. I know it's probably a signature move or closer to a very niche move. Well, Venom Drench.
Yeah, he did say that something has to happen for it to be the case, which makes me think that it has to be used on another.
The move will fail otherwise. The move will...
Oh, okay.
I remember seeing this. I just don't know what the fuck the move.
Yeah, I don't know if I know the name. You just want to use our hint, Shaman?
Yeah,
right. This is a signature move on a Gen 7 Pokemon. The Pokemon itself is not a poison type.
So it's a poison type move on a non-poison Pokemon.
And it's a signature move.
Oof.
I don't know. Because Gen 7 be Alola, and I don't know anything that has...
It's a water type Pokemon.
Is it Araquanid? I think...
Did Araquanid have a hidden...
I think it did.
It's... Water Pokemon that's got a poison type signature? I don't even know.
Oh man, this is something, isn't it?
Not poison. I don't.
Oh man, let me see if I can get you another fact about.
Because honestly, nothing's clicking.
This Pokemon has no moves that will actually damage the opponent.
Oh, it's Pukumuku.
Oh, it's Pukumuku.
I don't know what it gets. I don't know what the move is though.
Okay. So the ability is Inside Out. Inside Out.
Yeah.
Maybe we could just, like, make up a move name, like, Regurgitate or Vomit or something. Like, Puke.
You're so close.
I don't... Nothing's coming to mind. I'm right now.
Stomach. Expel.
I'm gonna need an answer here, guy.
Food poisoning?
No, let's just regurgitate.
That is unfortunately incorrect. Yeah, the answer is actually purify.
What? Purify is a poison type move?
Purify is a poison type move, and it only works if the Pokemon itself has a non-volatile status condition, such as poison or paralysis or something like that. It removes that and gives you 50% of your health back. Fun fact.
That was a poison type move. I thought it was like normal.
Nope, it's a poison type move. Alright, so let's redeem yourselves with this next question. This next one has a bonus point attached to it. So I want to know, because rock types are known for missing, like that critical stone edge every once in a while, you miss those. But two rock type moves in particular actually have 100% accuracy. What are they?
One's Accelerock.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Are they both offensive moves?
Both offensive moves.
Yeah, Dr. Shamu, it's Power Gym.
Yeah, it's Power Gym, yeah. No, wait. There's three, then.
Wait, there are three?
There's Power Gem and then Ancient Power.
Oh.
Both of those have 100% accuracy, so does Accelerock.
Oh my gosh, the question's wrong.
Sounds like we need 2.5 points, Thatch.
Oh, we're not doing that game right now.
we're doing 2.5 points, man.
I wrote the question down incorrectly. It's supposed to be physical rock type moves, but I'll give it to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll give you both points. That is correct.
Let's see if we can get the other physical rock.
That is correct. I'll give you all of the points. I'll give you 30 seconds, and then we're going to move on to the next question.
I'm curious. Like, what would be
another physical rock type move with 100% accuracy?
I wonder if it's a signature.
Is it like Rock Head or something?
And it's not Head Smash, no. Not Head Smash, not Rock Wrecker, not Stone Edge, not Rock Slide, not Rock Throw.
Well, I'm just gonna tell you guys now. Answer is Smackdown.
Smackdown.
All right. So we are gonna go ahead and jump into question number 5. You guys are doing pretty well though. You guys are like 4 points so far today, so that's pretty solid. Let's see if you can make it 5. All right. So question number 5. I want to know what ground type Pokemon has the highest base HP.
Ground type.
Oh man.
Zygarde's up there. Oh, Zygarde.
Stunfisk. It's Stunfisk.
Zygarde complete. It's got like 200 here, like 100 something.
Okay. I'm just worried about making a decision this quickly.
I doubt it's anything that has more HP than Zygarde complete for a ground type. Do you know a ground type that had like over 180?
You know, not off the top of my head. Like stuff that is high comes to mind, but like that's stuff like Hippowdon or, you know, any of the water grounds. What are there any like mega ground types we need to be
mega ground on? Megas don't gain HP.
Oh, okay, that's really good to know.
Yeah.
So, sure. Let's go with Zygarde complete.
That is correct. It is Zygarde complete by a long shot. Base 216 HP.
That's what it's 200. Yeah. I thought it was 200. I'm like, and I almost said they 180.
Next highest one is Rhyperior with base 115. Followed up by Gastrodon, base 111. Whiskash with 110. Mamoswine as well with 110. And then you've got Excadrill with 110. Stunfisk is 109. Then you start getting Garchomp and Hippowdon. And then regulars, 50% Zyg, stuff like that.
They're all really close. The ones below Zyg.
Yeah, they're all
like 115 to 109. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that is it for you guys today. You guys got 5 points, though, so that's pretty solid. And so let me go ahead and add in those points for you guys. So I'm doing math. So Shamu, actually, you get to make a jump today. Because everybody else below Sublime and... Below Sublime and Scrawn are just way down there. So let's see. We are going to go ahead. We are going to sort these tables. So the new standings are Sublime and Scrawn are tied for first place with 24 points. Whimsicott and Dr. Shamu are tied with 11 points. Jushiro is in fifth with 8 points. Maximus is in sixth with 7 points, tied with Gator and Snag. Bosefus and Basket are tied with 6 points, and Viger bringing up the rear with 5. And welcome Welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. So as always, guys, no browsers, no internet. You have to use what's in your heads. So, of course, as always, we have five questions for you guys here today, provided by various members of the community. We're going to go ahead and get to them here in a second. But, of course, the rules of this game are Shamu and Sublime are going to be operating together as teammates. They are going to try to get as many points as they can. There are five questions, 1 point per question. One of the questions has a second answer that they can also use to get one more point. And we're going to go ahead and they also have access to a hint that they can cash in at the end of the episode for an additional. So if you guys are ready, I will go ahead and ask you your first question.
Okay.
All right. So our first question comes from Scrawn, because I forgot to make the questions very quickly today. So I had to use Scrawn's.
Is it about Pokepark?
It is not about Pokepark. It is about Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. In Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, you can get the key item, the left Pokeball. And he wants to know what Pokemon is in it when you return it to its family.
The left Pokeball?
I know what he's talking about. I know it's a quest. Like, you get like a part of a Pokeball and you have to like find a person who had it.
Yes.
To get the other part. I never did it. I don't know. Nor have I really cared about it. So, yeah, I don't have an answer.
Well, I still need one. You also have
We just say we don't know and we don't have to give an answer.
And then just get it wrong? You might as well guess. There's like a 1 in like 400 chance you'll get it right.
That's less than 1%.
It's still better than 0.
There's it would be something in the decks, that you could probably catch in the game. So that narrows it a little bit.
Somewhat.
I give you a hint, but you have to use the hint.
I'd rather not use the hint on the first question.
Exactly. Okay, but they're not in like difficulty order this week.
Either way, I'd rather use it for the bonus question.
Okay. I don't think you'll need it for the bonus question, but you can choose to do that. I will need an answer for this one then.
Metang, because I hate myself.
Why not say it's Pikachu? I feel like it's more likely to be Pikachu than something random.
Sure, that works.
Pikachu is unfortunately incorrect.
Well,
the answer is actually Dartrix.
You were
close with the Metang with like middle stage evolution. All right. So the next question comes from Shira, and she wants to know, or Ash Nightwind, I get them confused, but they want to know, what move did Shellder/Cloyster gain access to via the Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon move tutors?
Liquidation?
That's gotta be it.
Is that your final answer?
That's a really good answer.
What move it gained from the tutors?
Yeah.
Yeah, Liquidation.
That is correct. Liquidation is the move that Shellder and Cloyster got from the move tiers. So this next
Waterfall
one comes from...
Waterfall is so past tense.
This one comes from Bird Keeper Cobra, and he wants to know, what does the move Eerie Impulse do?
I believe... It has a requirement. I believe it's an electric terrain that like reduces special attack by like 2 stages. It's more of one. I can't remember exactly all the details, but I just know it...
That really sounds right.
Because
I don't think it has anything to do with...
And there's a reason you don't see it out. Because I believe it has to have electric terrain.
I don't think it requires electric terrain, because I've seen that move be used in the game without electric terrain.
Okay. I thought it might be something else I'm thinking of.
No, I think, let's just go with, you said it sharply lowered special attack, or by a lot?
I believe it's what it does, yeah.
I think that's right. I think it lowers the stat, because it's not a damaging move, I know that.
No. I remember with a special stat. I just couldn't remember if it was special defense or special attack. I'm pretty sure it's special attack, but...
Then let's go with that. Your first guess, go with your gut.
So you're going to say that it's because it lowers the special attack 2 stages? That is correct. So that gives you guys 2 points for today.
Yay. Okay. So close.
Yeah. That is very close. So, okay. So this next question is worth 2 points. You have to name both Pokemon. There are 2 Pokemon to ever have had a 4 times weakness to poison type Pokemon through all of the changes in, type chart and stuff like that.
Okay.
2 Pokemon had a times 4 weakness to poison.
Poison.
And they still do?
No.
Whimsicott does.
Well, they don't have it anymore.
Oh, I see.
Oh, wait. My trivia came from Gen 5, so Whimsicott.
Yeah, Whimsicott got it when it got the fairy typing. And for that matter, all of the grass fairy types, of which there are more than one at this point, do as well. Because that means Tapu Bulu has a quadruple poison weakness. That means the Shinnotic thingy has it. And if we're going at Gen 1,
if we're going for the Gen 1 for something that used to have it, I remember from a few weeks back, we were talking about how Bug used to be weak to poison, which means Parasect used to have it as well, in Gen 1 specifically.
I was like, I don't even know what
the question is. Are those your final answers?
Could you explain the question? Because I'm not really sure what you're asking.
No, you're right. You're all right. It's fine.
I guess that's our final answer?
That's correct on every single account. The Pokemon that had a times four weakness that I was thinking of was Paris and Parasect, which is correct because of the type chart. But then, yes, Whimsicott, and then Tapu Bulu, and then Shinnatic and Moralol and all that fun stuff is also times four weak to poison. Wow, I'm real bad at this today. So you guys are just, you're getting it. That's 2 points for you guys today. That's 4 points. 4 points.
I'm pretty sure you probably used a hint on the first question.
Right on. Let's cash in the hint for the next one.
Yeah, I told you probably could have, and you didn't listen to me. Nobody believes me when I say you should probably use the hint. Nobody believes me. Nobody ever uses it for the first question. You know what? I'm going to make those devilishly hard now. So
go for it. I'm going to use on the first question.
Question number 5, as always, is about base stats. However, I know that Sublime has been studying the base stat totals of all of these Pokemon. And
you
so
should not punish me for
I want to make it a little bit more difficult for him today.
That's not fair. That's a double standard, but whatever.
It is a double standard, and I'm okay with it. It's only slightly more difficult. And I think this should be within your realm of knowledge if you've studied hard enough. I want to know what fire type Pokemon has a base stat total in a base attack stat of 127. What fire type Pokemon has a base stat total, or not a base stat total, a base stat of a base attack stat of 127.
Hold up. Is 127, because that's a really weird number, is that a prime number?
Do we have a fire type Blacephalon?
Blacephalon's a fire type.
That actually might be it right there.
And, like, that's so weird, because, like, you usually have the 130s, the 135s.
I thought attack was lower, though. That's why I only think I'm a little worried.
Its special attack is, like, at least 150. It's, like, super offensive, so I would not be surprised if it was Blacephalon.
That might be Blacephalon. I think its speed is, like, 108, then. Or 109.
It's 107. It's 107.
That's what it was. It was 100-something.
Yeah, so I think we should go with
Blacephalon.
Blacephalon.
Yeah. We're going to see our hint just so we can, like, can double
yeah,
confirm.
Can we have a hint? Can we have a hint? Why not?
We can't cash it in.
It's a dual-type Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
And the second type is Ghost.
All right. Okay. Blacephalon. It's definitely Blacephalon.
That is correct. Blacephalon has a base attack stat of 127, which is incredibly high for a Pokemon like that. But it's an Ultra Beast, so they're super glass cannon-y. So that gives you guys 5 points today. So good for you guys. Good for you. That changes standings somewhat. So Sublime is now in first place with 29 points. It's a race
however,
to 30 for those of you at home.
I have a trap card. You've activated that. You did not add my last point for the most recent TCG cast. I have been keeping track.
Have I really? Okay.
Yeah. So that should be 30.
That is 30 points. Oh my gosh. The lottery set. But Shamu, because you helped him across the finish line, you're going to get those 5 points.
Yeah.
Yay. You win it next time, Shamu.
Yeah. All right. So Sublime wins the trivia this round. So we're going to reset. That's exciting. Where Shamu is in the lead.
We hope you like that. If you want to keep up with Puckle throughout the week, you can go over to the main feed at Puckle Podcast, or you could, of course, just check us out on Discord. Link is in the show notes. You can always support the show in a number of ways by checking out our YouTube channel for more content. You can also check out our Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, and our YouTube is youtube.com/pucklepodcast. You can, of course, help support the show in a variety of different ways. The first being checking out our Tee Public store, purchasing something. You could also go ahead and you can go subscribe to us on Twitch with a Twitch Prime membership, or you can go buy some Vite Ramen using code Puckle at checkout for a 10% discount. Or more importantly, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. But we hope you liked it, and we will catch you guys on the flip-flop.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.